So today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit confidence. Confidence, having confidence in the Holy Spirit, a confident expectation of what He will do in your life. But what does confidence mean? It's something that you expect, something that you know is going to happen without having to worry about it. I have people in my life, I know for a fact, if I ask them to do something a certain way, it's done. I have full confidence in people that love me, support me, lift me up, do what and they can expect the same thing from me. So we can have that expectation. We can have confidence in the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because He tells us all about Himself in the Scriptures. And we have Him as God in our lives, inside of us, dwelling within us. And if you can't have confidence in God, where are you at? Right? So if you're new here today for the first time, I got to bookend this with, do you know Jesus? Because this Holy Spirit conversation doesn't make a hill of beans to you if you don't know Jesus. If you don't remember a time when you put Jesus Christ into your life, you asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you repented of your sins, and moved forward trying to sin no more. If you didn't do that, this conversation isn't for you today yet. We got to work on that problem with you, all right? And I'd love to talk to you after the church service. I talk to you anytime, but don't leave here today without knowing, without remembering the moment when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you became a resident of heaven. Okay? Don't leave here today without doing that, because you don't know. That lady right there is a testimony that we don't know. One second we're praising the Lord, the next second we're flat on our back, passed out. So please, don't put that off today if you don't know what I'm talking about. Jesus is the key to all that we're going to talk about here today. So Holy Spirit confidence, let's keep going, Roger, please. The Holy Spirit confidence changes everything in your walk. He is the paraclete. He is the one that indwells us and gives us confidence. He comes alongside of us. He, like Pastor Gary likes to say, He crawls up inside of us and shows us how to love. All right? We're so very often looking for other things and putting things above love, we miss the point of the Holy Spirit. We often see those who are spiritually confident, okay? And they're referred to being as anointed or powerful because of the influence they have and what they do and what they carry. Growing up Catholic, if you had like a little white collar here, boy, oh boy, everything you said was gospel. Even if it wasn't. And I say that to you today to challenge you a little bit to think on what Scripture teaches you on this subject versus traditions in your life. Because that was a tradition in my life. I went to CCD. I did all the stuff. I got to meet the bishop. I got confirmed. I wanted to be a priest. I never read the Bible once. I knew Jesus as a guy that looked dead on a cross. That was it. If I thought of God, and I thought the Pope popped in my mind before Jesus did. Those were traditions in me. So I challenge you today, because this doesn't come with a degree or a title. You don't need those things. None of these guys, the first century folks, none of them went to seminary. None of them did these things and went to school and got a little piece of paper on the wall. Y'all don't need that. You can have confidence in the Holy Spirit just because you are an imager of God and He loves you enough to have died on the cross and then come live inside you when you accept Him as Savior. So, it only comes through a spiritual connection with the Lord though. Let's not miss that part. We develop this connection by reading His Word, by fasting. And I know that's one that everyone hates. Fasting is terrible. We're about to have fried chicken in a few hours, and we're talking about fasting. Why did they fast? Not for weight loss purposes. They fasted because through physical discomfort, man, they felt closer to God because Jesus suffered on the cross so tremendously. It was a way to attach themselves and get closer to Him. Jesus Himself fasted to get closer to the Father. While He was here walking this earth, He got closer to the Father by fasting. So I encourage you with that today to give it a shot. And praying and coming together of the body of Christ. Y'all are together right now, and this is what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to forsake the gathering. But what does that also look like? Serving. You develop a relationship with God and with His people by serving. We got to go out to dinner a week and a half ago with some of my best friends in this church. And you know how that happened? We serve together. We serve. We get our hands dirty together. We do stuff together. When Hurricane Ian came in here, wiped out Englewood, my wife was out there slinging water and helping do canned stuff with other people in this church. And she'd come home and go, I met the best people today. I met the best people today. Real people. Good people. And these are regular people. These aren't people with collars. They may have a degree. I don't know. And that's a beautiful thing, too, because they don't even tell me. But I tell you what, I see the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit. I have confidence in all of them that anything that we talk about doing is going to get done. Because of the Holy Spirit. We are not, if we're not careful, we can tend to rely too heavily on spiritual leaders for our confidence. Look into the guy with the collar. I put all my faith in him. I went to him for forgiveness of sin. If you're not Catholic, what that means is you go in a little black box and you tell him all your dirty laundry, and then he gives you a laundry list of prayers to pray, and then you're good. Jesus isn't in there. Wasn't saved, wasn't forgiven. That was a tradition. So this is what happens, though, when we assume a pastor, a teacher, a Bible teacher, some guy you're watching on TV is above us because he's got a perceived level of giftedness, favor, or closeness to God. When I first started to attend the church that Pastor Gary was a part of here in town forever, Miss Dina hung the moon. And we thought she had a hotline to God. We did. We used to think, man, we should ask Dina to go pray about this because he'll hear that. Wasn't in my word yet. Come to find out, I get to talk to him myself. And he hears my prayers too. And he loves me just like he loves you. So the Holy Spirit wants you to have confidence in him. How do you have confidence, though? He wants you to have a relationship directly with you. Don't call me to get a relationship with him. Go to him directly. Have that confidence, and you don't have to have it filtered through other people. We all let you down, unfortunately. Someday I'll say something. Someday I'll make a joke. I'll say something sideways that's going to rub you wrong. And it won't be on purpose, hopefully. But it'll happen. So please, don't filter stuff through me, through Pastor Gary, through somebody you watch on TV. You don't need it. You got God's holy word right at your disposal. Have that Holy Spirit confidence. Let me get a little sip here. Thank you, sir. Where does our confidence as followers of Jesus Christ come from? The Bible says, "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Afresh. It's something we have to do daily. It's something we have to remind ourselves of daily. Scripture also tells you have to die daily. This will wither away inside of you. If you get saved, you get on fire for Jesus, and then you just let it go. And after a while, even this will become tradition for you. It won't mean anything. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and discipline. Discipline is key here. He gives us the love. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. That discipline part is the part we don't like. Because in order to have that Holy Spirit confidence, we have to have discipline in our lives. We have to choose to do the right thing. So because of the Holy Spirit, how much time? I got a little bit of time. We can speak of Jesus with confidence. All right, Corinthians says, "Therefore, having such a hope, we use a great boldness in our speech." You can talk to people about Jesus and have confidence because of the Holy Spirit. We can be confident of who we are in Jesus because we are not like Moses. He used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at what was fading away. It wasn't that he was trying to hide the shine. He saw it fading away, so he tried to hide the fade. But in their minds were hardened until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. The Old Covenant of the law was fading. It's what they needed. They were forming a government. They were creating a nation. That was the purpose of it. You got to have rules and regulations in a nation. You got to separate the people from the crazy lunatics in the neighborhood. You don't want your kids running around with the bad kids in the neighborhood, so you set up boundaries. But this new covenant of grace doesn't fade, amen? This new covenant of grace shines as bright today as it did the moment Jesus Christ went to heaven. So to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. He wore a veil to hide the fade. The temple had a giant veil running down the middle of it that was like 6 or 8 inches thick. These curtains here are like, I don't know, maybe an eighth of an inch thick. You can't tear these things with your hands. God tore that veil square down the middle because there was no more hiding. There was no more distance between us and Him. You don't need me. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So do you have enough confidence or trust, which is another thing you need, in the Holy Spirit to give Him control for that discipline? He's not going to make you do it by yourself. First, let's look at what control looks like spiritually. First, the bad kind. We're going to go quick. I want to spend more time on this, but running out of time. The kind that we are good at, unfortunately, is we're good at hating people, being angry, fighting, being unkind, unfaithful, being harsh with people, just being plain rotten in general. We are good at that. We all excel at that. Boy, oh boy, if my filter wasn't on, I'm not the same person. My Holy Spirit filter. So if we are not under the Holy Spirit's control, we have to be under unholy spirit control. Now, what does that look like? What is that? I heard an old-time preacher talking about how when you look at the gifts of the Spirit, when you look at the things that He gives us, it's all about discipline. It's all about God intervening and saying, okay, Alex, you're about to make a really bad decision here. You don't have to. Discipline. Not lack of discipline. When you think of unholy spirit control, I couldn't help but think of like crazy scenes from The Exorcist. No control. And some of those crazy things you see in the church today. Unholy spirit control. And I'm sorry if that offends, but I ask you just to filter through God's word. Filter through God's word. And if you're offended at that, I'm somebody who does not like to offend. I'm a peacekeeper. It's one of the things that the Lord has put on my heart to be. And I like to be a peacemaker. But I just encourage you to make sure it's not tradition and it's actually scripture. So the opposite of what the Apostle Paul describes as the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are important tenets because when we give up our self-control to the Holy Spirit, it's cruise control for Him. We let Him take over and He guides us on the right paths, making good decisions, acting right. Why? We'll get into it in a second if we have time. Just so we can't do what we want whenever we want. It's not Holy Spirit control when we're up there just doing things our way. Romans teaches, what shall we do then? Are we to go and continue to sin so grace may increase? Just jump to the end of the scripture, brother, please. Basically, the idea here is, God forbid if you're going to go out and sin for the sake of grace. And the thing is, we have to remember that knowing and our old self was crucified with Him. We have to die to ourselves. And where do we find our freedom? Death from sin. Okay, we're dying to ourselves and we're letting sin pass away from us. And we're now free in the Holy Spirit. When we submit to the Lord, we learn that the Holy Spirit is not a loss of control, but it's a gift of true freedom. The one thing that keeps the world out of the church, not one, but one of the many, is people go, I don't want to do it that way because they're going to come in here and tell me all my rules and regulations. We're not going to tell you what to do with yourself. I don't know what half of you, any of you folks do when you go home. Some of the nicest people in this room might be bears at home. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. Corinthians says, now the Lord is Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Why does this matter? We need the confidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives because we can confidently reflect and share Jesus to a lost world. But we all, in an unveiled face, holding it as a mirror, the glory of the Lord, being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The idea here, we got to reflect Jesus. People don't get to see Jesus. You might be the only Jesus someone meets today. So I encourage you this morning, let the Holy Spirit take control. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are evidence of submission to living under the Spirit, the control of the Holy Spirit. An apple tree doesn't wake up and decide, I'm going to make apples today. It just does. An orange tree, you don't have to go tell the orange tree, go make an orange. It just does. The fruits of the Spirit happen because of the Holy Spirit. They're in you to do. You can be better than you are today because of Him. Galatians says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These qualities reflect God's character. That's why He gives them to us. We're to be imagers of Him. We're to reflect Him. Well, He wouldn't give us stuff that doesn't reflect Him. So, being in the behavior of those living according to God's Holy Spirit influence, that's the fruit that you see. That's why we get those things. Reflecting the Holy Spirit equals reflecting Jesus Christ, your Savior. Get the confidence you need to reflect Him by reading His Word, fasting, prayer, and gathering together with the body of Christ. We made it right on time. Thank you all so much for being here. And today, and again, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, I know none of this made sense to you today. How am I getting help from something I can't even see, touch, feel? I don't get it. I don't blame you. I didn't get it as a saved Christian forever. But I encourage you today, take that step. Don't leave here today without asking Jesus Christ into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to, ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Believe on Him, the Bible says. I'm not asking you to understand it. I'm not telling you like to be able to explain how He rose from the dead. But trust that it happened. Believe in Him. And then choose Him. Ask Him into your heart this morning. Ask Him to save you from your sins. And then repent from your sins and go forward and sin no more. Like He told the lady at the well. He told the lady that. He wouldn't tell her something she couldn't do. You know why? Because once you do it, the Holy Spirit's there to help you with it. He's not going to make you do it by yourself. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. We appreciate You. Thank You, Lord, for this morning. Thank You, Lord, for this lady feeling better and being able to get out of here on her own volition, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this time together. I thank You, Lord, for the patience of the people waiting while this lady was taken care of this morning. And Lord, I pray for anyone in this room that does not know You, Lord, may they accept You right now. May they not leave the building without accepting You, because God forbid something happens in the next 15 minutes on the way to the car, Lord. They choke on a donut, Lord. We don't want them to end up in hell for all eternity, Lord. We want them with You forever. So, Lord, I just pray. I pray that their heart is softened and that they believe on You, that they come talk to somebody. Help us walk them through it, Lord. We love You. We ask You this in Your holy name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you again.